As I've said in times past, just gotta love that brother. It is so good to be able to come on this evening to worship God in spirit and in truth. As I look out amongst the audience, it seems as though it is empty. We had 99 on this morning, nowhere near that number on this evening. So there are some phone calls that need to be made to see where some people are. Now we get word on where some are, but others we have no idea. But on this evening, just the same, we're going to look at a lesson entitled The Word of God. That's what this is all about as we come together to worship. Using the Word of God, it's God's Word. It's not man's. A man could not have put these things together as the way they are put together. So it is God's Word. And as we look at it, we're going to get an understanding about some of the things that God's Word entails. The Word of God is, bear with me. No worry, brother. The Word of God is. Right. It is a sword. The Word of God is a sword coming from the book of Hebrews chapter 4. I was watching a TV show today and the little boy went over and he was touching this sharp object and it was a sword. As he ran his finger across it, he looked at his finger and I suppose it was not sharp. Didn't see any blood. But a sword is something that is used to pierce. And when it pierces mighty good, mighty good. The writer here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, to verses 12, says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, able to separate the two." You know, when we think about God's Word being this way, we have to think about where are we going to spend our eternity? What are we going to do to be pleasing unto God? It says, "And of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I can't help but to say, those that use the phrase, "God knows my heart," it is true. For the Word of God, it tells about what's in the heart. It's able to discern the things that are there, whether they're good or whether they're bad. He sees all. He knows all. And He understands when those that are not here on this evening, He understands why they're not here. But it doesn't mean that He's pleased with them not being here. Because He understands all things. For the Word of God is quick. You know, it's alive. It is something that we do not need to say, "Well, that was just for them." The Word that we're looking at this evening is for us all. And if we do not apply the Word unto our lives, we're going to find ourselves on the short end. And the short end are the ones that are going to hear that command, "Depart from me, workers of iniquity, I knew you not." Those are the ones that's going to be cast into the lake of fire. You don't want to be there. You want to be where in the presence of the Lord. You want to be able to be told to enter in, "My good and faithful servant," to live with Him throughout all eternity. Not worrying about destruction, but always praising God because you are there in His presence. This is what the Word of God does for us. It's quick, it's alive, and it's powerful. Powerful. There's nothing more powerful than the Word of God. I want you to think about your life for a moment. I want you to think about when you was a little child growing up in your mom and dad's house. I want you to think about when you were going to school. I want you to think about when you graduated school and then you went out to get you a job. And I want you to think about when you got married. I want you to think about those that got divorced, why you got divorced. I want you to think about those that are still together. How much longer are you going to be there with your wife or with your husband? I want you to think about those things for a moment. And I want you to imagine all of the phases of your life without the Word of God. Think about it. Now, I can go back and think about my teenage years. When I didn't have the Word of God with me, did not have the Word of God in me. And I can remember some of the things that I did. And I know that when I stand before the judgment throne, there, all that I did in my life is going to be revealed unto me. It says you're going to be judged according to the works done in this body, to the deeds done in this body, whether good or whether bad. Now, if I got the bad wrong, right, I don't have to worry about those. But if I didn't, I have some worrying to do. So think about your life without God. Now that you have God in your life, think about how much more powerful it is and how much better it is, because you know that you are living and doing things according to His standard. James chapter 1 verse 23. The Word of God is a glass. It's a glass to show each one of us how we're living. We don't go to that mirror and look in that mirror and see something that needs to be fixed and don't fix it. Because if you do, somebody is subject to tell you about it. And there are many of us do not like anybody to tell us anything about us. But that mirror, that glass, it tells all. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who needs to get something corrected in their life? And if that mirror speaks back to you, I tell you, you need to get you a new mirror. But the Word of God is that glass. It's that mirror. He says here, let's go to verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with the meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. The Word is the glass. And I want us to see, you know, exactly who we are by looking in that mirror. That's where you're going to get all the answers from. I can't tell you much. But you know, I can show you in God's Word what you're supposed to do. And if you don't do those things, shame on you. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Look both ways before you cross the street. Oh no, you bad. You just want to run across the street. Guess what's subject to happen to you? You're subject to get hit by a car or a bus. I was looking out the window the other day and I started laughing because there were these two people. Here come the bus flying down the road. At least doing about 40 miles an hour, I say. And there they are standing trying to flag him down. So it's not going to work. Every now and then, if he see you when he's a little ways off, he's going to stop. But if you wait till he get right up on you to start trying to flag him down or her down, they're not going to stop. So we got some ex-bus drivers in here, and they can say, no, I wouldn't have stopped either. I would have kept going. But you know what we need to do when we look in that mirror and we see something wrong? We need to stop and we need to fix it. We don't need to move forward. We don't need to, you know, speed up anything. We need to fix it. Be a doer, not a hearer only. You know, we can only hear so much, but there's a whole lot we can do. The Word of God will never change, but we can change, and we need to change in order for us to be pleasing unto Him. What changes us? The Word changes us. Psalm 119, verse 89. The Word of God is water to cleanse. And yes, we all need to be cleansed. We all need to be cleansed. I know as we go look at this in the book of Psalms, it's just something so us, you know, to give us an idea of what we need to continue to do in this life so that we may be pleasing unto God. Psalm 119, verse 8 and 9. Verse 8 and 9. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Listen to the word of God. Hear the word of God. Be doers of the word of God. He tells you to flee youthful lust. Guess what you need to do? You need to flee those youthful lusts. He tells you that you do not need to be a drunkard. Guess what you do not need to be? A drunkard. He tells you you need to be one of his servants. Guess what you need to be? One of his servants. Hear the word of God. Do what the Bible says. While you're there, going back over to Psalm 119, verse 105. The Word of God. It says here, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You need some direction? Here it is right here. It's called the Word. It's what we call the Bible. It's the Word of God. We don't need to wait till things fail before we, I guess I will rely on God now. That's who you should have been relying on at first. Before things got bad, you should have put your hope in Jesus. You should have put your hope in the Spirit. You should have put your hope in God. He would take care of you. He would direct you in the way that you need to go. There's no wrong path in God's Word. Man is the one that has gone wrong. I have sworn, he says, and I will perform it, and I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according unto thy word. The things in which you speak, Lord, quicken me, make me alive, make me understand. He says, except I beseech thee the free will offering of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand. Yet do I not forget thy law. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever. For they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statute always, even unto the end. Now I want to just forget about Psalm 119. And let's come to the New Testament and look at what we're supposed to do and why we're supposed to do it. You know, as we understand that it is a light, it is a lamp, let's keep focusing on the good things. As we find Jesus says in Matthew, he tells us, you know, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A light. We are the light. We are the ones that need to be going out in these dark areas and telling people about the love that God had for the world to send His Son here so that we all may have a right back to the tree of life. I'm not telling you to get up in the middle of the night and go out there and trying to save the world. I'm telling you that it's dark out there. Not only when the sun goes down, but it's dark out there 24 hours a day because of the sin that men commit. But we are that light. We are the example. We are the Bible, the only Bible that some people will ever read. Oh, I saw Brother Butch, and you know, I like all the good things he's doing. Maybe that'll bring them to Christ. Or I saw, you know, this other brother, and he wasn't doing so well. You know what that does? That pushes them away from Christ. So we need to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 30, a lamp to give light. And we'll come back over to the center in just a moment. A lamp to give light, Psalm 119, verse 130. Acts of verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doeth my soul keep them. The entrance of the words giving light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. You know, how good is God's word really? How good is it? It's good enough for us to understand that we need to serve Him. It's good enough for us to understand that we were made in His image. It's good enough for us to understand how we must treat someone else. Nobody in here like anybody to say anything bad to them. We always want to hear the good things. No one ever wanted anybody to hit them. We always want them to come to us, shake our hand, give us a hug, give us a kiss or something of that nature. Don't want anything bad to happen to us. Why? It's all because of the Word of God. That's what it's all about. Man was not born knowing how to love. He had to be taught how to love. Obedience is the key, my brothers. Obedience is the key. Doing what the Word tells us. Allowing this Word to flourish in our lives so that we may be pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. So that we may be able to go out into that world and to tell people about everything that we've gone through and what they're going through and tell them that they don't need to suffer any longer. That they don't have to, you know, endure those things. They can come away from them. How? By the Word. By the Word. The Word tells us it's a seed to give life in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Let's jump up to verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God, but raised Him up from the dead and gave Him glory, and your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. This book will never be revised. Or shall I say the words in this book? Yeah, there are new translations being, you know, put together right at this moment. But God's Word will never change. Never change. You know what you're supposed to do. You know how you're supposed to do it. My question to you is, why not do it? Why are you not doing it? What are you waiting on to do it? It's the Word. It's not what man says. It's the Word. It's what God has said. Keep His commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't love Him, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to keep His commandments. You're going to be disobedient to not man, but you're going to be disobedient to the Word. You're going to be disobedient to God. If you're here on this evening, I ask, have you accepted it? Have you accepted God's Word? If not, why not? Tomorrow is not ours. James says your life is but a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanished away. You know, we at a point in our lives where, some of us anyway, some of you haven't experienced this yet, but we like to be around people that love us. Some are still growing to love and understand what love is all about. But you know, there's going to be a great separation in the end. If you have not been found to be obedient, you're going to be separated from some that you love, some that loved you, but your love for God was not the same. Do not allow that to happen. You're in control of it. You have everything in your power to do what God says. There's nobody here that understands what I'm talking about can say, I cannot do it. I can't do it. You can't do it by yourself. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need the Spirit in your life. You need the God, the Father in your life. You need each person that's here in your life helping you to do it. So there's no excuse. No excuse. If you're here and you want to become a child of God and you're not, that opportunity is yours to come forth. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away. ready and willing to walk a newness of life. Living faithful, that's what it's all about. Maybe you're here and you're straight away. We're asking you to come back to the fold before it is too late, because you're going to have to give an account. Why not give an account today instead of waiting until the end, because it's too late then? There is a great day coming. If you have sinned and you need to get that right, get it right. You need to make a confession, make that confession. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing. 2:16